We move to the fifth case today, Pinto v. Exelon.
Good morning. May it please the Court, my name is Lisa Kane. I am here on behalf of the appellant, Victor Guinto. The issue before the Court is whether the plaintiff produced sufficient evidence from which taken as true, with all doubts resolved in his favor, with all evidence construed in the light most favorable to him, and all reasonable inferences drawn in his favor, a rational trier of fact could reasonably find that the defendant discriminated against the plaintiff because of his age, and whether a rational trier of fact could reasonably find that the defendant retaliated against the plaintiff for complaining of age discrimination. The uniqueness of this case is that the plaintiff met all of the prima facie elements of age discrimination. The question resided with the Court on pretext. And given the fact that all of the plaintiff's comparatives were between the ages of 10 to 31 years younger, the plaintiff was not afforded an interview, which was in contravention of the policies of Exelon, and the defendant afforded interviews to all qualified candidates for the 2004 ILT class with the exception of the plaintiff. The plaintiff was informed that an interview was not required and that data from his workweek manager interview would be utilized in lieu of the interview for the reactor operator for the SRO position.
Let me ask you, Ms. Kane,
yes.
Was there any evidence in this 2006 class?
Yes.
Is there any evidence that anybody else received a red rating, which was one of the problems your client has, according to Exelon?
Yes. No, there was not that we are aware of, Your Honor. However, with regard to the red rating was to apply for new hires and promotional opportunities. And it has been agreed upon that the SRO position was a lateral transfer. And further, the HRAC 31 policy that the defendants rely upon with regard to the red rating, you can retake that every 6 months. And had the plaintiff been allowed to enter into the 2006 class, he would have been able to retake that test. But clearly, HRAC 31, which is the policy for that the defendants rely upon, does not speak at all with regard to the lateral transfer. And specifically with regard to the 2004 position that the plaintiff was denied, there were several interesting factors that the court failed to take into consideration. And one of the most important was that all of the candidates who were afforded an interview were at least 10 years younger than the plaintiff, did not have the experience of the plaintiff as he had previously held an RO position for 15 years, which even the selection board members agreed would basically promote the plaintiff into a position of being successful at almost 100%. Only two of the eight individuals who were afforded the opportunity for the SRO candidacy actually were successful. More importantly, the defendant relies much upon the policies in both arguments for the 2004 and the 2006 position. However, the poster child for the violation of their own policy is the 31-year-old Stopka, who completely avoids the entire interview process, and most importantly, there it is just promoted into the candidacy program without having to go through any of the loopholes that the plaintiff did. There's also the question of age-related comments. Because the plaintiff was not afforded an interview for the SRO position as all of his comparables, Gayhart, one of the selection members, was asked to meet with him and asked three specific questions. And one of those questions was, do you plan on retiring? And the reason that that is so relevant and should not be viewed by the court to be a stray remark is because the very interview that she's having with him, which is not in front of the entire board, has the issue of his retirement. And as he is so much older than the rest of his comparables, by 10 to 31 years, of which the defendant agrees as well, it's actually quite relevant and circumstantial evidence to support pretext. And as this court has addressed in the Olson case, that prima facie elements having all been met here may also be used as indices to prove pretext, which, frankly, when we have the defendant violating their own policies, you know, circumventing their policies for a 31-year-old, and most importantly, when the position became available for another to be brought in, my client, the plaintiff, was second on the list to be in put into the candidacy program. Nonetheless, the defendants, without even going through their selection process, put Stopka right into the place. At this particular time, Your Honors, I would respectfully request to reserve the remaining time for rebuttal. Thank you so much.
Caesar?
May it please the Court, my name is Lawrence Kent Caesar, and I represent the defendant, appellee, Exelon Generation Company, LLC. The district court decision granting summary judgment in this case should be affirmed because the plaintiff, Victor Guinto, admits that the reasons articulated by Exelon for not making him an SRO are true, and he has no real evidence of discrimination or retaliatory factors. What you heard from Ms. Kane and what Mr. Guinto has argued throughout this case is just that he would prefer that there be other factors that on which the decision would be made.
Now, the other 11 candidates who entered the 2006 program, did they receive green ratings?
There's no evidence that anyone else had a red rating. I'm not sure exactly what's in the record in terms of their ratings, but everyone whose rating is in the record is not red.
And then why is that relevant since he was a lateral? This would have been a lateral move for him.
It's relevant, Your Honor, because the question in this case, this is not a contract case. This is not, like you heard earlier, a question of the interpretation of the policy. The question is whether this was a pretext for either age discrimination or retaliation. And if the individuals involved, and the only evidence in this case is the testimony of Mr. Dudek, one of the selection board members, that he believed, based on this policy, that the selection board did not have the ability to make Mr. Guinto an SRO. In addition to that, this is kind of an unusual circumstance that somebody would be laterally transferring into a position of supervision for the first time. And the fact that the people who drafted the policy didn't think about the possibility of this situation doesn't mean that it's a pretext for age discrimination or retaliation. With respect to the 2004 openings, Mr. Guinto admits that he told one of the members of the selection board that he really did not want to perform the duties of this job and that he saw it as a mere stepping stone to the promotion that he really wanted. He told one of the decision makers, in fact, that unless she and her boss, who is the head of operations, didn't do enough to get new SROs in so that he could leave, he wouldn't be happy in the decision. In the position. He acknowledges that a candidate's willingness to make this multi-year commitment was an important consideration for the board, and yet he acknowledges that he never made that commitment. He also admits that the selection board considered the fact that as a trainer, he...
How many year commitment was that? Said multi-year. Was there a years, number of years given or just multi-year?
It was the attachment to our brief, which is the attachment to the it's in the supplemental appendix, is 4 to 6 years, and I believe Ms. Gehar told him 6 to 7 years. Now, he argues in his brief, well, Later on in her, many years later in her deposition, she said 1 or 2 years after the training, which would be about 4 years, and then says she's lying. But it's very clear. He acknowledges not only is the expectation 6 to 7 years, he admits that there were people that were prevented from leaving for up to 13 years because of the drastic shortage. One of the other arguments that Ms. Kane made was that there were age-related comments. And as the court knows in the Colosi case, an inquiry with respect to retirement is not considered per se an age-related comment. As a matter of fact, Mr. Winto specifically said that there had been another time when somebody had left and somebody had asked him, well, are you going to retire? And he said that wasn't age-based. They were just trying to figure out whether they were going to have to get a replacement. And so in this particular circumstance, now we don't agree that it was said, but even if it was said, it's an opportunity for him to say, oh, no, I intend to do this job and be here for a long period of time. He never said that. He told the decision maker, according to him, yes, aren't you going to retire? Something like that.
I'd like to ask about the company's placement of Stopka. Is that how his name
is pronounced? Mr. Stopka, yes.
Stopka into the 2004, a vacancy in the 2004 class without having established his prerequisite qualifications.
Your Honor, there is a great deal of evidence in the record, and Mr. Guinto talks about it, that the company thought that reactor operators, current reactor operators, would make the best candidates for senior reactor operators because they had actually gone through a similar training. It's an extensive training. A lot of people don't go through it. It's 18 months. The company had an excess of reactor operators because it was a union position, and most of these people do not want to become senior reactor operators, including Mr. Guinto. He had said when he was a reactor operator, he did not want to become a senior reactor operator because he did not want that kind of responsibility. He didn't think the pay was very good. A number of reasons. There was an emergency situation where somebody had dropped out. They needed a replacement. And Mr. Stopka said, you know what? I think I'd like to do this. That meant that the company could slip him into the training. There was no doubt he would pass the training. It meant that they didn't have to come up with additional salary because there was a overabundance of reactor operators and a shortage of senior reactor operators. The problem was so bad that the corporation had corporate funds to provide incentives to reactor operators to move into the senior reactor operator position. So there's no doubt, it's undisputed, that somebody like Mr. Stopka was highly, highly prized. Then the question is Mr. Stopka similarly situated to Mr. Guinto in terms of saying, but you know what, I'm only doing this as a stepping stone. I really don't want to do this job. And there's no evidence with respect to that. So ultimately, there is no evidence that the articulated reasons that I've set forth are a pretext for discrimination on the basis of age.
So in addition to that, there is evidence in the record to support that Mr. Stopka was qualified, that he had the baseline qualifications to be slotted in, even though he hadn't originally sought it?
Oh, there's no doubt that he had the baseline qualifications as a current reactor operator in good stead at the company. There's no doubt about that. And in addition to that, Mr. Stopka not only jumped over Mr. Guinto, he jumped over everyone else on the list, including people that were much younger than Mr. Guinto. So when you look at the base question here, is there pretext for age discrimination? Is there pretext for retaliation. What Mr. Guinto keeps on wanting to do is to set up different articulated reasons. He starts talking about the interview, that he didn't get an interview for this position. He got an interview for a different position. But the very form that it points to says you can have an interview for either position. But most importantly, that wasn't the articulated reason for the decision. They said they needed somebody who was going to stay there and do a good job. And Mr. Guinto said, I'm not staying there, and they had personal experience with him, which indicated he wasn't going to do a good job. If there's no other questions, we respectfully request that the district court decision be affirmed.
Thank you, counsel. Ms. Kane? You have 4.5 minutes.
Oh, thank you so much. I just have a few points, respectfully, with regard to counsel's argument on pretext. The deviations from Exelon's policies were that a candidate seeking entrance into the 2004 class were required to complete an interview. Didn't happen for Stopka. What counsel is referencing as far as the qualifications of the 31-year-old Mr. Stopka versus the plaintiff who had an exemplary record, had been with the company for 27 years, held the RO position for 15 years, I just don't see how in good faith he can stand before you and say that Stopka is somehow better qualified for the position than Mr. Guinto. And more importantly, I appreciate the fact that he is now willing to say that Stopka did get to jump over everybody else to get into this position despite the policies of Exelon. Defendant afforded all other qualified candidates access to an interview process inclusive of interview sheets and structure, which afforded all the candidates except the plaintiff an opportunity to interview for that position. Most importantly, the evidence in this record is that the defendant failed to complete the respective interview sheets of plaintiff's Younger's comparatives, which included motivational fit. Uniquely in this case, Mr. Guinto was informed by Gayhart that his work week manager interview was going to be utilized in its stead for the SRO interview. Most importantly, he was found to be an acceptable motivational fit for that interview, and Dudick specifically testified that the work week interview and the SRO interview were one and the same. There was no deviation, and he was found to be motivationally fit for the work week. So it's surprising that somehow there's a deviation with regard to the SRO position, which is another indice of circumstantial evidence to support pretext. The defendant.
Do you disagree that your client wouldn't make a multi-year commitment?
Absolutely. He had no – what the SRO position is, Judge, is an opportunity, an open door in order to be trained, in order to go further within the promotional opportunities within Exelon. He has no intentions. He's still employed and has been since this began in 2004, which would now make it so that he has been there for, Clay Gagan, close to 30 years. He doesn't want to retire. He can't afford to retire. And he, as far as his commitment is concerned, what should be noted with regard to that is that it was misrepresented to him, the longevity, and it's a question of fact on the credibility of Gayhart, is what is the program? Is it 1 to 2 years, as she testified in her deposition? Is it 4 to 6 years, as was identified in the policy that's also part of the evidence in this case? What is the real timeline? Because this is a lateral transfer. This is to afford someone the opportunity for a promotion down the road. This is training that allows them to run the nuclear plant. So, you know, as far as him not having the commitment, I mean, I don't know what this man could do more of to ensure that he is committed to Exelon as he is evidenced by his entire career. Certainly there was favoritism with regard to the Younger comparatives. And most importantly, let this court not fail to take notice that the plaintiff was next in line for a position in the class as evidenced by plaintiff's ranking by the defendant's selection board, another piece of evidence that the defendants chose to basically circumvent by putting Stopka forward. As this court has announced, in Rudin, an employer's failure to follow its internal employment procedures can constitute evidence of pretext. And it is honestly my respectful hope that you return a decision that reverses the district court's opinion on this case, as the plaintiff specifically met all of the prima facie elements for his age discrimination case in both the 2004 and 2006 decision. And I thank you so much, and have a really nice day.
Thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement. We go to the last case.